The supernatural power of God surged in the first century in a way that lit up the early church and the gospel mission of Jesus Christ. The Almighty's omnipotence was especially on display during Paul's third missionary journey, which begins in Acts chapter 19. That's because Christianity is a supernatural faith. The greatest display of divine power is when the resurrected Christ transforms a person from darkness to light, from death to life, and from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Surely Paul had this in mind when he wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Hello and welcome to this Thursday edition of Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by. Coming up next, Ron takes us to the Apostle Paul's third and final missionary journey. It was a season in which Paul took a bold stand for Christ in the midst of heavy opposition, but it was also a time when the power of God was on full display. Stay with us now as Ron continues his teaching series, Paul, Surprised by Grace. Or visit somethinggoodradio.org, where you can listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. With part two of his Something Good Radio message, Supernatural Power and Protests, Paul's Third Missionary Journey, from Acts 19, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
But the devil, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, is the god of this world. And he's pretty powerful. Don't mess with him without being able to say the name of Jesus, because there's power in the name of Jesus. And every dark demon from the pit of hell will scurry in the face of a blood-bought child of God who comes in the name and in the power of Jesus Christ. That brings us to scene 4. We have Apollos and his powerful preaching, we have the divine power of the Holy Spirit, we have the cultic or satanic power that the sons of Sceva dabbled in and played around with. And then we come to the latter part of chapter 19, where you have a reminder and an introduction to the Temple of Artemis. When we went to Athens in Paul's missionary journeys, we learned that Athens was a city full of idols. The Greek mythology led to 30,000 some idols and statues that were in the city that the people worshiped there, including one that was to an unknown god, like they needed one just in case they missed one. But you come to Ephesus, and it was the Temple of Artemis, also known as Diana. The Greeks and the Romans had different names for these mythological gods. Let's pick it up in verse 23 of chapter 19, where it says, "About that time there arose no little disturbance concerning the way." Yeah, you step into a place where the power of darkness has a foothold, and you come there with the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will create a disturbance in the heavenly realms and in the demonic world. Verse 24, "For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, 'Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not real gods.'" Imagine Paul speaking the truth. Imagine somebody daring to speak the truth today and say there are only two genders, male and female. That's how God created us. What Paul was saying, that gods made with hands are not real gods, just was a thump in the chest, a poke in the eye to these people who worship these false gods. "And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing,
and that she may even be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship. And when they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." So Ephesus was home to the temple of Artemis, also known as Diana, the fertility god. And there was magic and mythology and money. Oh, lots of money, economic power associated with the temple of Artemis, which at that time was one of the seven wonders of the world. We're going to be in Ephesus in just a few weeks here. Leave for Greece and the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. The ruins in Ephesus are some of the most incredible in the ancient world. And even the ruins of the temple of Artemis. You see it there. And the primary place it played in the people's lives. The cultic practices in Ephesus also fed the silver artisan industry. Demetrius and other craftsmen and tradesmen would make little shrines of Artemis out of silver. Yeah, you go to the temple, you enjoy, you know, the worship there and the cultic prostitution that went along with it, and then you could take home a statue of Artemis yourself and put her up on your shelf and worship her at home. Big money, big business. And when the gospel of Jesus Christ came to Ephesus and destroyed the power of darkness in so many people's lives, and they threw away their shrines and burned their black magic books, it impacted their economy, as it should. There's a lot in our economy today that is of the powers of darkness. Just take some time to look through so much in our world today and in the economy of our country. When the gospel of Jesus Christ comes into a place, it changes even our commerce. It should change the way you manage your money and I manage my money. When we put Jesus Christ first in our finances, we can call him Lord Jesus Christ, but is he Lord of your money? Listen, when the gospel truly shows up, he'll change your commerce. And it changed the commerce in the city of Ephesus. And Demetrius, this successful silversmith, stirred up his fellow tradesmen and others who were loyal to Artemis for religious and superstitious reasons and also for economic reasons. And a riot ensued. And for about 2 hours, this riotous group of Ephesians were saying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And it says that they gathered in the theater. Well, we're going to go to that theater, a theater that historians will tell us seated about 25,000 people at the time. It was more like a stadium. And imagine the hordes of people around Ephesus who caught word of how the temple of Artemis was, you know, being threatened by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and this Paul who had been preaching this all over Asia. And they came to the theater, to the Colosseum. Let's say 25,000 of them. "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." They chanted this for 2 hours, shouting down anybody who might say something different. Boy, today, when you speak the truth, you get shouted down by people like this. Because they don't have a defense of what they're doing. So they have to shout louder. For 2 hours they did this. The Apostle Paul, Luke says, wanted to go address this riotous crowd in the theater at Ephesus, and his team counseled him otherwise because it wasn't safe. They probably would have strung the guy up and hung him from the nearest tree. And so Luke tells us that Paul laid low, and when the riot quieted down, he departed for Macedonia. And later, he wrote a letter to the Ephesians. That's your New Testament book of Ephesians. Powerful stuff happening there. The power of God on display. Supernatural power and protests. Don't think that it's going to be a rose-colored experience when you take the gospel of Jesus Christ in you into a dark place. And our world is getting darker and darker and darker. And boy, if I had the time, I could argue and give example after example of how the demonic spirit world is loose and
running fast through our culture and our nation and our world today. Here are a couple things to take home with you today. Number one, the power of God is greater than any power. The power of God, His almighty, omnipotent power, is greater than any power. You know, when I read this, I think about some time that the Joneses spent in Washington, D.C., you know, just up the road from us, 3-4 hours, our nation's capital. It's a power city. Didn't take me long to figure that out. We moved out from Texas. And, you know, some cities are money cities. Other cities are fame cities, like, you know, Hollywood and places like that. Washington, D.C. is a power city where a lot of power mongering happens, where people are thirsty for power. Catherine and I learned early on that here's how relationships are in D.C. They want to know if you have any power or if you have some proximity to power, then they'll snuggle up to you and have a relationship with you. If they discover you have no proximity to power, they're out of there. We experience that, I don't know how many times, at social events. Yeah, so what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Yeah. They didn't perceive I had any power, right? You know, what do you do? Well, I my wife was working kind of out of the home, but she would look at him and say, I'm a homemaker. It's a power city. Today we're talking about power sources, right? Renewable energy and fossil fuels and who's going to win the battle there. And nobody ever talks about the power in the universe, which is the supernatural power of Almighty God. The power of God is greater than any power. And keep in mind, even if you run into the dark powers of spiritual blackness and demonic power, greater is He that is in you, child of God, than he that is in the world. The devil may be called the god of this world, but his power is limited. And you have the name of Jesus Christ in your corner.
We'll be right back with more of today's Something Good message from Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We have a great resource to share with you today, a book by Dr. Ron Jones that covers every book of the Bible. It's called The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, and both volumes are our gift to you when you make a donation of $50 or more to support the media ministry of Something Good. That's volumes 1 and 2 of Ron's book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. This is our way of saying thank you for your generous gift to support the ministry of Something Good Radio. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now here's Ron and the rest of today's Something Good Radio message, Supernatural Power and Protests, Paul's Third Missionary Journey.
Number two, the gospel of Jesus Christ is power to transform your life. It's the greatest expression of divine power is the transformation of a life through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Oh, you can try harder. You can buy this program and this supplement and that supplement, all that promises to change your life. How's that working for you? No, the kind of transformation that starts on the inside, because we're all sinners who need a Savior. We're infected with a virus called sin that separates us from God. It's only the power of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that sets us free and transforms our life. Some of you here today, you don't know that your sins are forgiven. You're not sure of that. You don't know that if you were to die in the next 10 minutes, that you possess eternal life, that heaven would be your home, that you would be absent from this body and present with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not sure of that, but you can keep powering it up, you know, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, trying harder, hoping against hope. that when you stand before your Creator and give an account of your life, you got enough good to outweigh the bad. Good luck with that, because the Bible says nothing about that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Your hope and my hope is in the power of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to set us free. Because until then, demonic power, the devil's power, has us all bound up, even to where we fear death, the Bible says. You want to be set free of that and laugh in the face of death and say, oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? It's the power of the resurrected Christ that comes to live inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Some of us yesterday were out in Portsmouth, and we enjoyed the God Loves You tour put on by Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and it was a thrill. It was a thrill to see just the simple, to hear the simple gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed by Franklin Graham, and to see that in just a very simple moment, so many people standing up to receive Christ as their Savior, the power of God to change a life. And maybe you're here today, and you've been power-mongering with something other than, maybe it's self, you know, just the power of self. And you've been powering it up as best as you can all your life. Let me encourage you to get to the cross of Christ as soon as you can, right now, today, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He paid the penalty for your sin. He was the one who went to the cross, who died on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross because you and I were under a death sentence. The Bible says the wages of sins is death. Physical death entered into this world because our spiritual and physical forefather, Adam, sinned against God, contaminated the rest of us. Now that all have sinned, born into sin, and fall short of the glory of God, furthermore, the wages of sin is death. Death wasn't God's plan, it was the result of sin. And the second death the Bible talks about is separation from God forever in a place called hell. That's why Christ went to the cross. He took our death penalty and satisfied the holiness and righteous demands of God, satisfied His justice. And He didn't just die on that cross and go into the grave. The power of Almighty God raised Him from the dead. That's what Paul preached everywhere he went. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, I met Him. I met Him on the road to Damascus. He was a first-hand eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. That's why he was so bold with the gospel. And when Jesus Christ transforms your life as radically as He did the Apostle Paul, you know who you are and you know who you were before you met Christ. What a transformation it brings. That ought to give every one of us confidence to represent Him as boldly as Paul did, even in the face of demonic power and the resistance that comes from the dark world of the devil and hell against the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Christ today. Just place your faith and trust in Him. Just say, God, I know that I'm a sinner, but Jesus is a better Savior. And I put my faith and my trust in Him. I want to receive the free gift of eternal life, to know that my sins are forgiven and I'm going to heaven, and set me free to live for You the rest of my life. You say something like that in a prayer to God. It's just talking to Him, and He hears you and He applies all that Jesus did for you to your account. And He says, you're saved. You're set free, child of God. Now let's get to know each other, and let me help you live the life of Christ you were meant to live. Let me help you do that through the Holy Spirit I just put in your life, okay? Study my word. Get to know who I am, my promises, my prophecies, my instructions. I'll teach you how to live and how to walk by my Spirit. And that's all you need. You don't need some miracle to say, okay, now I believe. You don't need some special tongue or special this or special that. He's given you all that you need to live the Christian life successfully, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, and His success manual for life, which is actually a love letter He's written to us. Just believe on Him today and have confidence that your eternity is secure, that you possess the free gift of eternal life. And if you were to die today, and unless Jesus comes beforehand, we're all going to face that day. And the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a way to live your life. The confidence of knowing all that God has promised, all that He has packaged up in His salvation and redemption plan and delivered to us completely in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us for today's Something Good radio message, Supernatural Power and Protest, Paul's third missionary journey. And I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Ron Jones. And Pastor Ron, a moment ago you said as your final point to the message that the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to transform lives. Let's talk about that in light of the way the Apostle Paul presented the gospel to his listeners.
Yes, and thanks, Brian. I'll start by going back to Romans 1 and verse 16, where Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Now, Paul wrote those words to the church in Rome while he was in Corinth, which is somewhat ironic because it was there in Corinth that Paul had proven by his own preaching style that it was the power of Christ's gospel, not the power of Paul's persuasion, that transform lives. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. You see, when Paul was in Corinth, he didn't even attempt to compete with the intellectual and persuasive speech of the many Greek philosophers. One could argue that he intentionally became a bit boring or bland, maybe for the sole purpose of making sure he wouldn't be tempted to take any credit when people came to faith in Christ. And why should he? As Paul himself said, it is the gospel that has the power to save. No need to come up with clever and persuasive arguments to sway public opinion in Christ's favor. The gospel does all that by itself for those who will believe. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin to explore evidence for the resurrection or for creation or to answer questions posed by those who have not yet come to faith in Christ. I'm simply saying that for those who are going to believe, the gospel itself is the only power necessary. And I think it's good for pastors and teachers like myself to remember this truth, because the moment we get away from it, we might be tempted to use our own opinions and our own powers of persuasion to lead people to faith in Christ. Such a strategy might fill up the pews, but it won't necessarily populate heaven.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with some final thoughts on the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save the lost. Okay, Ron, your next message is called Grace and the Race to the Finish Line. Provocative title. Tell us about it.
You know, Brian, the Apostle Paul is known as the Apostle of Grace because, well, he spoke so often of the grace of God. He uses the word grace 82 times in his 13 epistles. And of course, other than the person and work of Jesus Christ, Paul's salvation story is about the most powerful testimony of God's grace in all the New Testament. Now, we think of grace as God's unmerited favor. And I always like to add the idea that it's God's unexpected generosity as well. But there's more to it than that. And I want to spend a little time exploring the grace of God through the lens of not only what Paul said about grace, but also the way he demonstrated it in his own life. That's where I'll take us next time when I continue my series, which is appropriately titled Paul Surprised by Grace.
That's tomorrow when Dr. Ron Jones shares his message, Grace and the Race to the Finish Line. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.